Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back in the extra hour is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
Hello, hello. And Chris.
Hello.
Hello, Chris. Get him some water, Pat. Help him out.
Hose him down.
Hose him down.
Thank you.
Oh my goodness, if you missed the first hour, it flew by. And we're so excited to be back with you in the extra hour. We have so much to share with you. Before we went to the extra hour, we were talking about, are you a Christian? 77% of Americans right now, according to Gallup poll, identify themselves as Christian. Out of 319 million people that live in this country called the United States, that would mean 245 million Americans. 245 million Americans would consider themselves, according to the Gallup poll, as a Christian believer.
Right. That's huge.
That's huge. That's huge. Listen, if 245 people were Christians, this nation would be a completely, totally different nation.
If 200 and how many?
245 million. Mm-hmm. 245 million.
Wow.
Would have laws that would reflect differently.
Mm-hmm.
We would do things differently in this country. And so it begs the question, like, well, then what is a Christian? I mean, what makes you a Christian? And we went over a list of things, and we just asked the question, you know, does that make you a Christian? And Jesus said in Matthew 7, listen, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. And that in fact, many, many people will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy and in your name drive out demons and perform miracles? And then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. And so it's okay. In light of those, I mean, I'm sure that those people, when they hear that, they would wish that they would have done an examination, that they would have done an evaluation of their present condition. You know what I'm saying? Because they're saying one thing, and the reality is totally, completely different. And 2 Corinthians 13:5 says this, examine yourselves. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test. I mean, there's a test.
Mm-hmm.
And a wise person would say, well, let me examine. Let me see. Let me do an evaluation. So we're encouraged to do that. When you examine, what do you do? It means to inspect. It means to scrutinize, carefully investigate, with the intended purpose to do an evaluation. When you go to the doctor's office, what do? They give you an exam.
Mm-hmm.
They ask you some questions. You're feeling this, you're feeling that. And the end of the examination is to find out, the doctor's going to make an evaluation as to what are your health conditions. Are you healthy, not healthy? And if you're sick, he's going to try to diagnose exactly what is this sickness.
Mm-hmm.
And so we get a chance to do a self-evaluation. You know, self-evaluation is pretty good because other people can give you an evaluation. You can give yourself a self-evaluation between you and God. Those are really good. And one of the questions you can ask yourself, and one of the questions is just right off the top, have you accepted Jesus Christ into your heart as your personal Lord and Savior? I mean, have you done that? Is there a definitive moment in your life, whether in public, whether in private, whether in one-on-one, but is there a moment in your life that you can pinpoint where you can say that I have confessed with my mouth? Not that I thought it was a good idea, that I think about God, or that I'm open to religious things, but was there a definitive moment where you said yes to Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
And by saying yes to Jesus, at the same time, that means no to the devil, right?
Right, exactly.
I mean, think about Christian, you're sharing your testimony. I mean, I remember when distinctly you said, what, you were in your home, right?
I was in my home. Well, right. Well, it started the night before, you know, when the Lord had spoke to me. And, but yeah, it was the next day. I was alone by myself, just me and God. And I said, yes, Lord.
Yes, you Lord. Know? And it's so amazing because what I remember, a part of your testimony was that there was a beginning process of you searching.
Right.
You were searching, you were open, but searching and open and being close is still not in.
That's
you know,
right. Exactly. Exactly.
And there's a lot of people that are searching and that are open to the things of God, but they're not in. I mean, in is in and out is out. No matter how close you are, if you're not in, you are
not in.
Out.
You're out. You're out. And so you made a choice that day in your home to say, I want to be in. More importantly, I want God in me.
Right.
I want to accept him in my life. So one quick question is, you know, have you done that? Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart, right, that God was raised from the dead, you will be saved. Have you confessed with your mouth and believed in your heart? So what does accepting, you know, Jesus into your heart and make him Lord actually mean?
Mm-hmm.
It means that we make Jesus Lord. That's so important. It's so important you have a clear understanding that what that means when you accept Jesus Christ into your heart, you're not accepting a buddy. You're not accepting a co-pilot. You're not accepting the man upstairs. You're accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord, your personal Lord and Savior. You cannot disconnect Savior and Lord. They are combined together. They are combined together.
Right.
And there's been a no lordship gospel that's been preached that tries to disconnect those two. Just make them Savior.
Right.
Make them lucky rabbit's foot. But there's no lordship required. There's no boss required. And what the making Jesus Lord means, because he is Lord, but making the Lord of your life, means that he is the boss. He is in charge. And it means that you wrap yourself around him. God and Jesus, they don't wrap themselves, you know, he doesn't wrap himself around you.
Right.
You know what I mean? He's the boss. An example of this is when you go to work, you know, who calls the shots? You or the boss? The right way is that the boss calls the shots, right?
Right.
And who's the one that has to conform to who? I mean, do you conform to the boss and their vision? Or does the boss have to conform to you? I mean, this may seem elementary, but let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. There's people at work that are thinking that, you know, bosses and employers have to make all these concessions and they're doing them a favor by showing up. But you got to ask the question. Now, if you want to work there, you understand that what they say is what goes. You know, that's why it's important that you clearly understand that is this, you know, what the company values are and who you're working for, and this is a place that you can agree with and that you don't feel that your own personal values are going to be compromised, but they're in step with what you believe. Because when you show up there, you're going to be expected to walk with them in agreement. You're going to be expected to follow their ways and their instruction. But how crazy would it be for people to try to claim benefits from a job that they're not a part of? Can you imagine someone trying to claim benefits from a job that they're not a part of? You don't work here. You don't belong. You don't want to be here. You don't support the vision here. You don't work. This is not your job. But yet they'll try, you know, if that person tries to claim any kind of a benefit, medical, 401k, or disability insurance, or a profit sharing plan, you're like, dude, the first thing is you got to be an employee here. Do you have a
right.
card? Do you have identification? Where's your benefits card? You don't have one. Well, how are you claiming benefits for XYZ job? You got to be an employee of the job. So hello. Right? Well, how many today are claiming biblical benefits from a God who they refuse to make Lord?
Isn't that something?
I mean, just things that make you go, Quick to tell you all the promises in God's word, all the blessings that are found in the book of Psalms, and the power of prayer. The Bible of prayer. See, the Bible is not a motivational book. It's an operation manual. It helps you to operate in the kingdom of God. Right. But first, you got to be in the kingdom. You got to be in the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And today, you're just hearing a wishy gospel that says, just apply these principles, apply these promises, apply these benefits. But if you're not in, you're not in. These benefits don't apply. Mm-hmm. You just can't pull the scripture out of the sky and just claim it, right?
Mm-hmm.
The question we're asking here is, you know, are you really a Christian? How do you know? You know, for instance, let's just take prayer, for instance. A lot of people like to pray.
Mm-hmm.
S.D. Gordon says that prayer, right? Prayer is God and man joining hands to secure some high end. I'm going to repeat that again. Prayer is God and man joining hands to secure some high end. Now, if we just, you know, that's one perspective of prayer. I mean, there's many, but let's just take that for instance. I mean, how can we think that we could join our hands with God if we have not even joined our hearts with God?
Right.
I mean, there are many people today that are calling for prayer, and they're praying to Jesus, and they're asking God to invoke blessing in their life, and they're asking God to maybe bless their business or their family, or even their country. And it's like, man, do you walk with Jesus? Is what has gone to you? I mean, that's an important question to ask yourself and to ask of others. You know, is who is Jesus to you? I mean, who is Jesus to you? I mean, recently, a Congresswoman, Nancy Pelosi, said that, you know, she made some comment in terms about abortion, that being her quote was, I'm paraphrasing here, but being a Catholic and a mother, that she considered an abortion a sacred thing. When, in fact, you know, Frank Pavone of Priest for Life, he wrote an open letter and said, listen, this is not sacred, it's sacrilegious.
Mm-hmm.
Just because we say something, it's like we have to walk things out. We have to know what it is that we say we belong to.
Right.
It's just not a blanket sticker that we can put on our chest and say, I'm a Christian, or I'm a this, or I'm a that. What does that mean? And this is what Isaiah says. Isaiah 1:15. When you spread out your hands in prayer, I will hide my face from you. Even if you offer many prayers, I will not listen. I will not listen. You know, do you have blood-soaked, soiled, dirty hands and are trying to connect those hands with God in prayer and think that God is listening? This is an important question to ask. Isaiah 59 says, Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save. Mm-hmm. Not that, you know, his arm not too short to save.
Right.
Nor his ear too dull to hear. Right? God can hear anything. But your iniquities have separated you from God, and your sins have separated you from God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. Think about that. We're talking about prayer, and we're talking about connecting, but if we don't know God, God's saying is that your sins have separated you from me, and I can't even hear your prayers.
Mm-hmm.
We can't claim benefits of a God in whom we don't serve.
That's right.
That we haven't accepted as our Lord and our Savior. And what does it mean? Because it means that we have accepted Jesus Christ. It means that we've made him the Lord of our life. And today, many people that are searching or looking, you have to know. You have to know today. You have to know, am I in or am I out? Am I still searching? Because when you do an appropriate evaluation and an examination, then you can start from what's real and what's reality. You know, the question you ask today is, you know, if I was to die today at this moment, would I be in heaven or not in heaven? Mm-hmm. And why? And if your statement is that because I'm a good person or that I tried, that's not an entry ticket, if you will, quote unquote, to get into heaven.
Right.
That's not the right answer.
Uh-uh.
Right. The only answer is that you've been saved by the blood of the Lamb. You've given your heart to the Lord, and that you're walking this. You accepted Him as your Lord and Savior.
Uh-huh.
And so, John the Baptist came preaching before Jesus, preparing the way. And what did he preach? He preached repentance. He preached the kingdom of God is at hand. See, when we accept God into our heart, what we're saying is, literally, we're saying is that we are leaving every single thing that has nothing to do with Jesus in terms of sin and in terms of evil. We're saying that that part of my life no longer exists. I mean, so we heard earlier in Dallas Strawberry says, listen, I don't want to even associate with my even former life. Because as the scriptures say in 2 Corinthians, that if any man be in Christ, old things pass away, and behold, all things become new. He's a new creation. You're a new creation in God. It means you are leaving from the old. You're repenting. You're turning away from what was, to living a new life where Jesus Christ is your Lord, your boss, and your Savior. You're literally dethroning yourself, and you're enthroning Him at the center of your heart and of your life, and every decision, everything revolves around Jesus. Everything. Right. Everything. And He becomes your best friend. He becomes the lover of your soul. He becomes your redeemer. You become indebted. You become grateful. But there's a process that happens where it's called repentance.
Mm-hmm.
You get convicted of what is called sin. I mean, you don't hear about sin. You know what sin is? Very simple definition. It's anything Jesus wouldn't do.
Right.
Anything Jesus wouldn't do. And when you repent, you're getting the sin out of your life. You're turning away from wicked ways. And you're living for the glory of God.
Mm-hmm.
John says, produce fruit in keeping with your repentance. So there should be some fruit in our life that shows that I was like that and I'm stopped doing that. And now I'm living a different way. Now the question is, you know, because you're a Christian, are you going to be sinless and be perfect? No, the difference is that you were once a habitual sinner that had no problem at all with sinning. In fact, you didn't even know it was sin. To you, it was actually normal. See, that's one difference there. And then when you came to Christ, you said, I want to break this pattern of habitual sin. This is not right before God. I want to live a life that glorifies God. I want to accept Him into my heart, receive forgiveness of my sins, make Him the Lord and Master of my life. And now on this side of the cross, I may sin. I'll stumble. I'll make mistakes. But I can ask God for forgiveness. I can repent, and it's not a lifestyle of sin. Huge, huge difference. So we've got to produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And what did Jesus preach? Jesus preached from Matthew 4:17 says, from this time on, Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is here. Listen, we need to have an honest conversation. An honest conversation. Tomorrow is written in a fool's calendar. All you and I have is today. The Bible says that life is but a vapor. You're here today and you're gone tomorrow. And being a Christian doesn't mean that we are part of a fellowship or we got baptized or we listen to teachings from our favorite maybe preacher on TV or radio, or we have a cross around our neck. But we say that we believe in God. Well, the Bible says that even the devil believes in God, and at least he shudders and he's knocking at his knees.
That's right.
But you may say that you believe in God and it makes no difference in your life at all. Listen, we have to do a check up from the neck up, if you will. We have to evaluate and examine ourselves to see if we're still in the faith. And if we were on trial for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict us of what we're actually proclaiming that we are? And that's why Jesus himself said, you will know them by their fruit. Because someone will say, well, who's anyone to say that I'm not a Christian? Listen, just you do your own self-evaluation. Is there fruit?
That's right.
Is there fruit in your life that says that God is working in my life, that I've given him my whole heart? Listen, we're sharing this with you because we love you. We care about you. We want you to do the self-examination so that you know no matter what, no matter where you are in your life, you can say, I remember the day. I remember. And I'm still walking with God. That wasn't a period of long ago that you said a prayer and now you're no longer walking with him. You know, just because you prayed a prayer once, that doesn't mean you're in.
That's right.
You need to walk with, you need to have a relationship with God. He's not a formula. It's not about religion. It's all about a relationship. But you got to have that moment. And that distinct period of time, Chris, when you said, man, I need God. God, I want you into my heart and my life. I want that in my life. It's so powerful. I remember when it happened in my life. I remember the exact place where I was at. I remember it.
Yeah.
And you're never the same. See, Jesus wants to be more than your co-pilot. He wants to be more than your lucky rabbit's foot. He wants to be more than a buddy or the man upstairs. He wants to be your very best friend. Your very best friend. Don't settle for religion. Don't settle for a form of godliness. You may have been showing up to a fellowship for 6 months, a year, I don't know. You may have listened and read books. But the question you ask yourself, have I fully given my heart to Jesus Christ? I mean, clearly, in Matthew 7, clearly, they thought that they were right with God. I mean, they said, many, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord. Did we not? Like, hello, God, didn't we not do this, like, church stuff? Didn't we, you know, show up on Sunday and sing and read books? And I clicked everything on Facebook, and I said, if you love Jesus in your heart, yeah, I click it, and I clicked it, and I let the world know. And what's the deal? The deal is you have to have a relationship. And you know if you have a relationship. You know you have a relationship. Like someone say that, you know, they're married, but they just live with each other. You know if you're married or not. You know what I'm saying? I mean, sure, yeah, you have a document. You said something before somebody, and but are you? Are you living married? Or are you? You don't want to have a form. You don't want to have an appearance that you're following God, and you're not. You got to know deep down in the very core of your spirit and in your heart and your very being that I know God. And you know what? He knows me. He's not going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. But he's going to say, yes, son and daughter, I do know you. And you know me. The greatest gift you could ever have in your entire life, when you think of all the birthdays, and you think of all the Christmases, when you think about the Father's Day and the Mother's Day and every other holiday there's out there where people celebrate and give gifts and surprises and different moments in your life, from graduation to wedding to birth of children, the greatest gift that you could have in your life is not your children, is not your spouse, is not a career, is not the greatest gift that you could ever have in your life is the gift of your salvation. It's the precious gift that Jesus gives you that you don't have to pay for. It's absolutely free.
Mm.
But you have to accept it. I mean, I can have a ton of stuff to give you. But if you don't stick out your hand, Chris, and say, I receive it. Right. You know, put it in my hand. I want it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I want
That's
it.
Right.
Give it to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know? You don't put it in your hand and receive it and bring it to it's not yours. Make that decision today. Maybe you've been listening and you've been doing an evaluation. You've been checking. You've been saying, well, you know, don't settle for staying in that searching mode. Maybe you're searching today. You're searching and you're looking. Look, settle today. Do what Chris did. Chris searched. He was open to the things of God. God moved on his heart. But then Chris, all alone said, Jesus, I want you in my heart. I want you in my life.
Right. I can see the definitive moment there. You know, like I was saying earlier, it was the night before that I remember I heard God's voice.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't until I accepted what he was speaking into my heart.
Yeah.
It mm-hmm. wasn't until I accepted that gift that I felt him reaching out and giving to me at that moment. It wasn't until I said, yes, I'll take it. I receive mm-hmm. it.
Yeah.
That's just so powerful.
It is powerful. So many times people are looking for Jesus to walk in a room, mm-hmm. Jesus mm-hmm. to part the heavens. Jesus, and listen, God reaches out to us in so many different ways. He's doing it right now to you.
Mm-hmm.
But he'll do it maybe through a friend, maybe through a message, maybe through something you read, you know, in the Bible for sure. Mm-hmm. But God is constantly evaluate your life. Look at those moments where people have even spoke to you about God. How many of those moments are there? How many, think about those genuine moments where people really have taken the time to talk to you about where you would spend eternity. Think about the times that you've been riding in your vehicle all alone and you just felt like, oh my goodness, God is speaking to me right now.
Mm-hmm.
He's talking to me about my life. Think about the sermons you've listened and the things that have happened in current events that cause you to ask, oh my goodness, if this world ended, if the Mayan calendar was true, where would I spend eternity? Where would I go? Listen, eternity is written in the hearts of men. But what you do while you're still alive will determine where you will spend eternity. Close is not in. And no matter how close you're in, you're close, you're still out.
Hmm.
Make the choice today. Make the choice today to make Jesus your personal Lord and Savior. Have that definitive moment in your life where you say, I am done with this sin. I am done with this life apart from God. I am done as setting myself as the king, as the ruler of my life. It's been all about me. And I humbly submit myself to Jesus Christ, and I enthrone him over the center of my heart, and I want to live the rest of my life for him. Listen, you can do it today. He will change your life forever. And you will have a definitive moment in your life as you continue to walk with God where you can say for sure, this is what my life was like before. This was the definitive moment that I made Jesus Christ my personal Lord and Savior. And on the other side of this, this is what my life has been ever since. Listen, time is getting short. Time is getting short. Don't waste another minute. Accept Jesus into your heart and make him the Lord of your life.
We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget you can visit us at VFNTV.com.
One if by land, two if by sea. With Focus on the Family Minute, I'm John Fuller. Paul Revere and the folks in Charlestown had to watch for how many lanterns would be lit before his famous ride.
Look, the signal lights. Wait, they didn't stay on long. Just enough to warn the folks at Charlestown. Providence is smiling on us, gents. Row, quickly.
Revere was barely a step ahead of British soldiers.
Revere, Colonel Connett.
Did you get the signal?
Yes, and your mount is ready.
Ah, fine Larkin horse.
You need to know, Revere, that the British soldiers have been patrolling this road and the road to Cambridge all afternoon.
What?
If you think the ride is too treacherous, you needn't go. No one will fault you for staying.
Spread the word, Colonel. The British are on the move. Yeah!
God be with you, Paul Revere. Up, you patriots! Arise, you Minutemen! The British are coming! The British are coming!
Hear this heroic story today at focusonthefamily.com/radio.
You know, I want to encourage you, as you're listening to BFN Radio every day, we're 24-7, we're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We're live 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central, but we're 24-7, anytime, any time zone, all the way from Okinawa, Japan to San Diego, California. You know what I'm saying? You can come on to VFNTV.com or download our app and listen live. But we also have highlights. We actually have an entire 2 hour broadcast broken up into certain segments that you can, something, you know, it just may be on your heart or on your, you wanted to hear that one thing. It's all you have time for. It's all you wanted to hear. And that's why we do that. And you can go right to that on the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com and click on the Torch. Or you can go to your app and just kind of thumb through the names of the highlights and listen to that one segment. But that's all for you. We want to deliver everything that we're called to deliver to you in any way that we can that helps you meet your need at that time. Sometimes you can't, you just don't have time to get it this way. You have to get it that way. And sometimes you don't have time to get it that way. You get it this way. So don't forget, you can go to VFNTV.com. You can go to VFNTV.com and it's there for you. Go to VFNTV. Go to VFNTV.com. This is VFN Radio. You're listening to this. Go to VFNTV.com and go to VFNTV in your menu, and you'll see a prophetic teaching about this generation. It's called This Generation. And it's time for us to wake up and respond. And it's going to encourage you, because it's going to give you a perspective that if not, the things that we won't give up now, God will have taken away from us.
Mm-hmm.
He'll look, and there's raiders coming in as we speak, trying to raid the coffers, the government, the taxes, the freedoms, the Constitution, all these different things. But understand that God is allowing that. He's not doing it. He's allowing it to take place. It's his permissive will because of the choices that we've made, and he's intentionally allowing it. It's intentional. There's always somebody that wants to raid you, but he's keeping them back. And then, you know, if we don't respond, it just escalates and gets worse in regards to that. Even being sold as a slave to your enemy. You know, slavery didn't start in America. Slavery's been around since day one. Even Jesus said, you know, as Christians, you know, slaves obey your masters as unto the Lord. If you can get your freedom, get your freedom. So in the context of that, it was just an everyday conversation then. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be sold to my enemy. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I don't want to be sold to my enemy. But I can't be in rebellion to God and think that the end's going to be good. You know, and it may happen on an individual basis. You got to listen to this. Listen to it. It's called This Generation. And what it is, you have a pagan generation. But it's not unusual for a generation who has not yet received or didn't receive the gospel being transferred to their generation to be paganistic. But there's hope. There is hope. And God has a way to do that. Go to VFNTV.com and choose VFNTV on the menu and look for This Generation and begin to listen to it now and share it with your friends. It's a prophetic word for this day and this time.
Welcome back. VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Chris. We're talking about, are you really a Christian? Are you a Christian? That's a fair question to ask when 77% of Americans, based upon Gallup poll, say that they're a Christian. They identify themselves as a Christian. It's a good question to ask of yourself, each person. I mean, 2 Corinthians 13:5 tells us that we should examine ourselves to see whether we are in the faith, to test ourselves. And we talked about how you examine is by doing an investigation.
Right.
And you do an investigation and you inspect and you scrutinize so that you can have an evaluation. What'd you evaluate? What are you in or are you out? And I tell you, these are the greatest days right now to be living for God. I mean, God, what God's about to do on the face of the earth, you don't want to miss it.
Mm-mm.
You don't want to miss it. This is the dress rehearsal for eternity. For eternity.
Right.
And it's our plea to be able to be honest and transparent with you because, listen, I'm tired. I'm tired of every funeral. I'm tired of hearing folks that when someone passes away, it's so sad. I mean, first of all, it's sad that they're gone, right? But for a believer, you can feel expectant. If a person who's a Christian, you feel expectant because if you're a Christian, you're going to see them in eternity. You will see them again, but oftentimes people make the statement that, well, at least they're in a better place.
All right.
At least, well, how do you know? And if the person didn't want anything to do with God while they were here, then what makes us think they're going to want to do anything with God when they're with him, mm-hmm. literally? You know what I mean? Why would it be so cruel to say that they're in a better place?
Mm-hmm.
And we can avoid all of these, oh my goodness, moments by saying, you know what, I want to be in. Not to accept God so we can get a free get out of hell card, but so that we can have a sincere relationship with him. I just heard of Albert Pujols' testimony, which is absolutely awesome.
Mm-hmm.
He is the highest paid baseball player. Highest paid baseball player right now. I believe his contract is close to $300 million. Mm. And in his testimony, I Am Second Testimony, he says that he doesn't want to be remembered as a great baseball player, but he'd rather be known as a godly daddy and as a godly husband. He wants to be known for his Christian walk. I mean, how awesome is that?
That's awesome.
He's a first baseman, and he asks people every time they reach first base, hey, what's the most important thing first? Every baseball player that gets a base hit that stands on first base. Talk about worksite evangelism, evangelizing yeah, right. on your job. Every person that comes first base, he says, hey, what's the most important thing? You know, in your life, what are you living for? That's a question for you. What are you living for? What are you living for? And a lot of times people feel real honored to say that, well, I'm living for my family. You know, I'm living for my children, or I'm living for my parents, or I'm living for my grandparents. I'm living for my family.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as nice as that may be, and it's really good that, you know, people want to take care of their family. But no family member has ever died for us.
Mm-mm.
And no family member, and even if they did, their death couldn't purchase us Mm-mm. the entrance into heaven. You know, at a certain point in your life, I heard someone say, is what you're living for worth Jesus Christ dying for? Again, evaluations. But these evaluations on this side help us to really, you know, boil it all down and figure out what does it all matter? You know, I remember having that conversation, evaluation many years ago with myself. You know, I was out of college, and I'm thinking, what am I doing? I'm doing everything the world says you're supposed to be doing to be successful. I did the cold college thing, and I'm doing all. What is, there's got to be more to life than this. What is, there's got to be more.
Mm-hmm.
And the enemy will lie to you and put all different things in your path, relationships, money, fame, success, whatever, things, just to pacify you, to go from one thing to the other. But if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you're still going to be empty. And in fact, the Bible says that you are an enemy of God. And how can we claim benefits of God if we don't even know him? And how can we join our hearts and our hands? How can we join our hands in prayer with God if we haven't even connected and joined our hearts with him? And so you can have that moment. You can have that period of time where you say, that's it. Mm-hmm. I want to make Jesus the Lord and Savior of my life. I know that we've had moments where that's happened. Do you remember your definitive moment, Pat, where you gave your life to the Lord and
definitely.
How that felt?
Yeah, it just rocked my world. And me personally, it was a different type of circumstance. I wasn't really looking for any, you know, I wasn't looking for a big change in my life. I thought I had it all together.
Right.
I thought I was straight.
You know what I'm saying? That's what you call deceived.
You know what I'm saying? But there's just that time when God says, okay, now it's time. Enough of that foolishness, whatever it was you think you were doing.
Right.
You know, it's time. I want you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I just the light bulb came on, man. I mean, it was just like, I just realized I needed a savior.
Yeah.
So I could not rely on myself anymore. Because that's how I lived my life. It was just me, myself, and I.
Right.
I'm going to get myself through with whatever, you know, I'm going through.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm the one.
Right.
That's going to make it happen. I can't depend on anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody I've tried to depend on failed me.
Right.
I'm going to do this.
Right.
But then God made himself real to me. You know, it was like, oh, wow. You're awesome. And you can do anything. And I can't do squat without you.
Right.
Isn't that amazing? And is it that God just revealed himself? This is the questions you think about. Well, was God always revealing himself? And maybe we were closed off to that.
Yeah.
You know, because God's always heart is to redeem you and to save you. God wants from the minute, listen, he knit you in your mother's womb. He knew you from before you knew yourself. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
God always wanted you. But sometimes conditions in our life have to get to a certain place where we realize that it ain't about me. I'm not the person. And it's just, there's something about tenderizing moments. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
This sounds like a title somewhere. Something like tenderizing moments that soften the heart. The conditions are such that we go, how did I get here? What happened? You know, what happened? Sobering moments. And thank God for them, because they open up your opportunity to know God, right? And then if you accepted the Lord in your life, it allows you to know God even more. I mean, Apostle Paul said to know Jesus in the fellowship of his sufferings. And maybe, you know, you're listening and you say, you know what, I've given my life to the Lord, but you know what, I've gotten lukewarm. You know, I don't have that zeal and that fire and that passion for God anymore. And yeah, I remember that definitive moment, but that was like, oh my goodness, like years ago. And I don't know where that passion has gone. And I remember the days that I was so on fire for God, and I was a bold witness, and I couldn't stop talking about Jesus. But somehow I've settled. Somehow I've got comfortable. Somehow I've figured that I've got God figured out, and I'm okay with knowing a little bit about the Bible, and I can pray, but I don't have that passion for him anymore. Let me tell you something. You can get that passion back.
Mm-hmm.
You can have that fire back. You got to evaluate. Do a self-examination and see, where did you turn? What did you allow in your life? Is there sin in your life? And listen, once God shows you, you can ask the Lord to reveal it to you, and he'll show you. You can repent, mm-hmm. ask for forgiveness, and watch what God will do in your life. He'll restore that relationship. He'll bring you back to him again. But it starts with you acknowledging and confessing and being open to do the self-examination and the evaluation and asking God, search me, search my heart,
mm-hmm.
know my thoughts, see if there's any offensive way in me and lead me into the way everlasting. Search me. Because let me tell you, we're living in some serious days.
Mm-hmm.
Serious days. And you want to know like you know like you know. I like to say like the sky is blue and the grass is green. You want to know like you know that you know him and he knows you. You know, in God's News Behind the News, we've been talking about, you know, all the different things that have been happening with abortion and all the amazing laws that passed. But I don't know if you knew this. There's been a new ad that was created supporting pro-life, supporting the babies, and there's a quote above a clip of a hand holding a fetus in the palm of the hand, and wow. The above quote says of this picture, this child has no voice, which is why it depends on you, on yours to speak up.
Oh, wow.
Would you believe that three major media outlets refused to run the pro-life ad, calling it too controversial? You need to listen to CBN's segment on this. We're going to talk about this more. Well, listen up.
Available health care for women.
Three major U.S. newspapers are refusing to run a pro-life ad, calling it too controversial. The ad by Heroic Media features a hand holding a 20 to 24-week-old baby. Above the baby is a quote saying, "This child has no voice, which is why it depends on yours. Speak up." LifeNews.com reports the Chicago Tribune, USA Today, and the LA Times feel the image of the baby is the issue. Heroic Media Executive Director Joe Young says media outlets need to be willing to put a face on abortion. He said, quote, "The fact remains, children who are unique individuals, never again to be duplicated, are being killed in the most violent way imaginable." The ad was released last week after the U.S. House passed the Pain-Capable Unborn Child Protection Act. That act would make it illegal to commit an abortion after 20 weeks of pregnancy.
What's amazing about this is that too controversial, I mean, it's literally showing you a picture of a pre-born baby, 20 to 24 weeks. I mean, we in many states right now, I mean, Texas officially passed the 20-week abortion ban.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, praise God.
Yeah.
Thank God for it. It matters who you put in elected officials in office, but thank God for Governor Perry to have the boldness to, you know, institute another special session and say, we're going to get this done.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to get this done,
right,
and give the people the opportunity to vote and let their vote be counted. And last time they had the first special session, I mean, they had so much protesters and ruckus that they couldn't even get the thing passed.
Right.
But they got it done, and you look at what's happening and think, man, this is amazing. This is absolutely, absolutely amazing.
Powerful.
Very powerful, because it's reality. You know, now with 3D ultrasound technology, I mean, you can actually see firsthand what it is that you would want to abort. I mean, and you see Wisconsin just passed that bill. That's due diligence. You know, a young girl or a grown woman has to live with the consequences of her decisions for the rest of her life. And talking about the welfare of the mother, this is the welfare of the mother. She has to deal with psychological guilt issues unless she comes to God and, you know, asks for forgiveness, and God can heal you. Listen, if you had an abortion before, God can forgive you. He can deal with the torment. He can deal with the guilt and the shame, and God can heal all of that. But you got to confess it for what it is. It's murder. You got to confess it. Well, just recently, when we come back from the break, we're going to talk about how right now the court has just backed an abortion parent notification law. And we're going to come back and share what's happening in Illinois, which is, I mean, again, groundbreaking and powerful. But you're seeing that spread, truth is being spread all across the country. And people are standing up and laws are being passed that are going to protect life.
We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget you can visit us at bfntv.com.
It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you, that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, that just partner on a monthly basis to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us, and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation, and this nation, by God's grace, to the Lord. Go to vfntv.com and click on giving. vfntv.com and click on giving. You know, I don't shop. I just don't shop. I'm blessed enough to have a
My wife
I've seen you show up.
Yeah, you're right. It's amazing.
Go with a list.
It's amazing. Yeah, it's just amazing. But I, you know, went to go. We got this wonderful pollen blowing around right now. Trees are going like, yes, no, no, yes, no, no, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they don't even know what to do, you know. Yep. And so I'm having this congestion. So I stopped by a CVS drugstore to be able to buy some Mucinex, like this kind of thing that's a decongestant and that kind of thing. And I thought, I'm just going to run in there and get some decongestant, like sinus medicine, I guess you would call it. And so I go down this drug. I think a lot of drugs all the way down there. You can for it. From the top of your head to the bottom of your feet, they got a lotion, a pill, or something for it. And but when I got to this particular medicine, it just was a piece of cardboard. It was a piece of cardboard. They don't even put the medicine on the shelf. I'm like, what? You know, so I had to read the cardboards.
Oh, gosh.
And then I took the piece of cardboard, and I had to read, where do you go with this piece of cardboard? And you don't go to the cashier. You have to go back to the drug counter.
Pharmacist.
It's a pharmacist in the back. And I go back and I said, do you have any of these? And they're like, looking like,
why do you want this?
Yeah, why? I kind of watching my eye gate, you know, that kind of thing. And looking, I'm like, I got congestion. I got congestion. And he looks at me. He says, we don't have the 12. We have the 24. I'm like, okay.
Okay.
I mean, it's just like I was doing, coming from my law enforcement days. I felt like I was undercover, you know?
Yeah, right.
And finally, he pulls it out and he says, charges me $1 million for it. And and you look down this little credit card thing that you use a credit or a check card or whatever for. And he says, you have to read this statement. And I had to read a legal statement from the law that said that I'm going to go to jail. I'm going to go to jail. I'm like, I'm getting nervous. I don't know if I should get this Mucinex or not. What have we gotten into? I'm thinking, like, this could just blow my whole ministry here. They got cameras on me. I'm buying Mucinex, you know, and they'll never believe that I just have congestion. And I'm sweating it. And of course, you know me, I'm talking out loud. Are you serious? I feel like I'm breaking a law here. I said, can I use your name? I said, is this real? Can I take a picture of it? Like John would do. And then I had to sign it. I had to sign that I read the statement and that I would go to jail if I misuse my Mucinex, my congestion medicine. And I'm thinking, oh, my goodness, I thought all was done, but after that, I had to pay for it. And I felt so, like, I got to watch this stuff. I got to go buy me a safe or something, you know what I'm saying? And put this stuff in a safe. I mean, what if somebody breaks into my house and takes it? And they go, like, you had this drug in your house. And it's like, and I said, what in the world does somebody do with sinus medicine? At my age, it just makes me irritable when I take it. You know? What would you do? And he said, they make crystal meth with it.
Oh, wow.
They make crystal meth with antihistamines and stuff that's in that particular medication. I'm thinking, my God.
Amazing.
Oh, wow. My goodness. Get a job. You know what I'm saying? What are you doing?
You up,
and besides, one pack of it costs $25. I mean, I can imagine how much this crystal meth costs. Like, maybe it's cheaper.
Wow.
I walked out of there thinking, like, my goodness, I just felt like I came from a police state. I felt like I just came from a police state. But America is changing as we know it. So I just want to encourage you, when you do go to get some medication like sinus meds, be prepared to sign your life away. And yes, you can be arrested for it.
Welcome back. VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Chris. Before we went to the break, we were talking about media outlets. Media outlets that thought that a pro-life ad of a person holding a 20 to 24-week preborn baby in the palm of their hand was too controversial. Now, not to mention all the other stuff that's run in the newspaper, and not to mention all the other, but that is controversial. Listen, catch a clue. I mean, come on now, catch a clue. But let me tell you, there is plenty to be hopeful about. I mean, there's plenty to be hopeful about. We're talking about it. we're talking about today, we're going to have it available for you. But also, in Illinois, the Supreme Court just upheld a law that requires doctors to notify parents of underage girls seeking an abortion. I mean, how awesome is that law right there? I want you to listen to CBN and listen to what they have to report on it.
Case to the U.S. Supreme Court.
The Supreme Court of Illinois has upheld a law requiring doctors to notify parents of underage girls seeking an abortion. The law first passed in the state back in 1995, but never took effect. The decision clears the way for the state to enforce it after two decades of court battles. It states that a parent or guardian would have to be notified at least 48 hours before an abortion is performed on a minor. The Thomas More Society defended the law, arguing that it's constitutional, and the other states have upheld similar laws.
If you ask the parent of a 13-year-old, hey, would you want your daughter being taken for an abortion without you knowing? They're going to say no. Whether you're pro-life or pro-choice, this common sense measure makes sense.
The law goes into effect in 35 days.
How awesome is that? Goes to show you that this law was passed in 1995. My goodness, look how long it's taken for this thing to go into effect. But what you're seeing is that a stronghold is being broken. Things are getting passed right now and put in effect. But what person would say this is not common sense? A 13-year-old is not capable of making a decision like that on her own. She's not capable. She needs wisdom. She needs guidance. I mean, an adult. Yeah. Listen, you get wisdom and guidance when you buy a car, when you buy a house. You think you want some wisdom and guidance when you're about to kill a baby?
Exactly.
You want some wisdom. You want some input. And so we applaud this law. We believe this will set precedent, and you'll see more of this happening all across the country. But this is so, so amazing. Listen, it's so important that we continue to pray that simple yet powerful prayers. We're seeing every single week new law, new bills that are being passed that are protecting babies' lives.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.